I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
No Ben Potter today.
He's on holiday. Mm-hmm. He's in Poland, I think.
Yes, he is in Poland, drinking cheap vodka and eating sausage meat.
Yeah. He was having a vegan burrito last night, I saw on Instagram.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Doing all kinds of things. I've been just living vicariously through his partner's Instagram account this week.
Blue Fanta as well.
Yeah, I saw he had Blue Fanta. Mm-hmm. What flavour is blue?
I don't know.
I've never had blue.
Could be. I'm not sure.
In America, it's blue raspberry, I think.
Right. I've never had Blue Fanta.
But sometimes I see Blue Fanta and then you pour it out the bottle and it's not actually blue. It's just the bottle was blue.
Yeah, it's probably the case.
I'm curious if it's Blue Fanta like they have in America where it's full of chemicals or if it's Blue Fanta like it's Lemon Fanta but in a blue bottle.
Yeah, it could be.
We'll have to ask him when he comes back.
Thing is, I don't even drink like offbeat fizzy drink flavours in the UK. You know, I don't have like Cherry Coke Vanilla Coke, or the most exotic thing I do is sometimes I'll have an Apple Tango instead of an orange one.
I do like an Apple Tango. I like a Lemon Tango. Lemon Fanta.
Fantasy.
And I like a Fanta Fruit Twist.
Don't think I've had either of those
before. Have you not ever had a Fanta Fruit Twist?
No.
Wow.
I'm not a very
exciting very sheltered life.
Boy when it comes to drinks. No. But anyway, it's not a fizzy drinks podcast.
No.
It is a video game podcast, as I mentioned at this, you know, the first thing I said. And we are sponsored each and every week by a very real video game sponsor. Mm-hmm. Keeps the lights on. You see him?
No.
No?
I still think he's in the toilet next door because there's like a big ball of cobweb near the floor in the toilet and I'm too scared to touch it in case spiders come out.
There was a small-ish spider just by the sink in our office yesterday while I was doing a bit of washing.
Maybe it's
washing
one of the Dead Island offspring.
It could be, Dead Island 3 or something. Or it could be the Dead Island 2 house DLC, the spider.
That's it, yeah.
But no, we are sponsored by a very real sponsor. I've got the ad read this week. Hey, look, summer might be over, but there's no reason you can't still go and hit the beach, be a cool surfer dude, or just wander along the sand or whatever. But if you're going to be doing that, Ashton Matthews, because you live pretty near the coast.
I do, and people do go in the sea still.
Yeah.
The other day, someone was just swimming in a swimming costume in the sea. And I was like, are you all right?
Well, that's what I'm here to talk to you about.
Yeah.
If you're going in the sea, you still want to look good, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Or if you're not going in the sea, if you're just walking along the beach, you want to look great. Mm-hmm. Well, fear not, because Activision, now that they've got this deal out of the way, they're able to focus back onto things that they wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
And they are bringing
out,
like,
making their staff miserable.
Exactly, things like that. You know, toxic workplace environment.
Yeah.
But also, fashion.
Yes.
So they are doing a tie-in with one of their new games that is coming out very soon. You too can look both cool and good at guns as you walk along the beach. That's right. Coming on, I think, the 10th or 11th of November, hopefully not the 11th, Call of Duty Modern Shorewear.
Wow.
Free. It's free. Modern Shorewear. I think it's coming out on the 10th.
That
11th would be Remembrance Day.
Yeah, it does imply that it's not for going in the sea, it's for standing on the shore.
Yeah, well, that's why I sort of backpedaled when I said, yeah, if you want a cool swimming costume or to just walk along
or
the
just
sand.
To walk, yeah.
I mean, you could like walk along the sand and then just wade out into the ocean and never
true.
Come back.
Well, do you know what I see a lot of now I live near the coast? These like big, like insulated coats that people wear if they get out from surfing. And I always think like, that. Damn, they look so cozy.
They do.
So
my
maybe
sister,
that's what they're selling.
My sister does, occasionally she'll do like wild swimming and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's been to Ireland where there's some like Instagram gang who get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning,
gross.
Go into the Atlantic
gross.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they come out and put one of those on and then go and have like some Irish
like
sausage
or
something.
Yeah,
yeah. and they look really good, those coats.
Yeah.
My parents went with her once and were watching it, and they were just wearing the coats as they stood on the beach. They didn't go in the water.
Yeah,
but
I'm always really jealous when I see people walking around in them, but I know that if I went to even attempt to buy one, I can guarantee they're very expensive.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they are.
It's like an outside Udi. Like,
yes,
that's kind of what
it
is.
It's like what actors wear when they're, you know, shooting in a castle
and they've got
or something.
Like a big ball gown on, and they've just got this like big winter coat on.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not a fashion podcast either.
It's not a fashion podcast, and it's also not real, that sponsor. Sorry.
Shocking.
But those things are real.
Yeah, they are
mentioned.
Real. They are.
It's a bit dangerous when Ben's not here because we do just go off topic.
Yeah, we've not
been recording
got him
for
like...
how long? 5 minutes now. We've not really mentioned video games properly.
We'll get to it. It's been a very busy week this week
it
in
has.
The world of video games. So honestly, it was kind of hard to narrow down what we should talk about. The last few weeks, right? It feels like nothing's really happened. Mm-hmm. Like it's been kind of like, oh yeah, more layoffs again.
Yeah.
Don't get too excited about games. But this week it's been like, what is happening?
Yeah,
there's
so
a lot
much.
Going on.
Thank you to everyone who submitted questions, by the way. I know we put out a bit of an extra call last week saying, hey, please send questions in.
And we've got plenty and we've got some good ones this week, which is good. So thank you to our Patreons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where you can submit questions to this podcast and do a whole bunch of other things like get early access to Weirdest Games, Worst Games, new episode of Rules Boss, main menu coming next month.
Mm-hmm.
So all kinds of things that you can do at patreon.com/teamtriplejump.
They're the real sponsor. Before we move on though, should just mention where you can find us on the internet. Triplej.mup, that's triplej.mp is our website. And there's tabs on there to find all sorts of other things, our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord, our Cameo, and so on. We've got a shop, triplejumpshop.com. Don't think you can buy this anymore.
You can buy
a
black
similar
one,
thing.
I think.
You also can't buy
my God.
This anymore. There is a bit of flesh showing under the table now. Just a little tree.
I saw his midriff.
Goodness me. Quid pro quo. I've seen yours many times.
Yes, exactly.
Are you wearing any merch? No.
No, I'm not wearing any. Sorry.
That's all right. And patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Ashton just mentioned it. There's loads of different tiers on there. Ashton, what's out this week and what's happened this week?
So much has happened this week. What's happened is me and Peter might have actually been on the telly.
What?
Yeah, like on a real TV. Yeah. I told my mum and she was very excited.
Yeah, I've told my mum too. Mums are so excited
they
about
are.
This.
Children in Need have done a TV show called Game On, which is like a charity gamer thing. They had a couple of streamers on it, like big streamers, though I didn't actually know any of them when I was reading the list. I didn't know who any of them were.
That's probably a reflection on us.
Yeah, not them. And they have asked a bunch of streamers around the country to be part of it, and we are part of it. And we played some Surgeon Sim. We haven't done it yet, but we will have played some Surgeon Sim in some Pudsey Bear gloves. So if you want to check that out, go to the VODs channel and watch it. Maybe donate if you can.
The campaign will still be live. We'll leave it open so you can still donate if you missed it.
Exactly. Children Need isn't actually until next week, so...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I didn't even
clock
that.
It's on the 10th, I think. So this is happening a week before.
I guess it makes sense for them to not put that on at the same time as most people are watching BBC One.
But if you want to happen to like, is it 7? It was from 7 till 9. So if you want to like fancy going back to watch the TV show, if we find out if we've actually been on it, my mum's going to make me watch it before I tell her to watch it in case we're not actually on it because she doesn't want to watch it.
Oh, really. She doesn't want to sit through the whole thing. Just find a timestamp. Yeah.
Then, you know, I'm sure we'll tweet if we're on it or not.
Joe's hosting it as well.
No.
One of the hosts. I think there's three broadcasters hosting the show. One of them is Lauren Layfield, who is We're Just Normal Men, which I'm pretty excited about. She must be sick of that.
She must. But also this week, there is a What Went Wrong with the Sega Saturn. James and Ben has been working on that, and it looks very good. Mm-hmm. They sent me an early version of it the other day, and I was like, this is pretty good stuff here. Yeah. So check that out. It's already live on the channel if you want to watch that. And there's a Worst Games this week.
There is. It's a game called Road Rage, but it's not The Simpsons Road Rage.
Beep, beep.
It's really bad as well. It was like really enjoyably terrible.
But
I was
Peter,
having a great
people going
time.
To have it be their best game from their childhood.
Well, they might, but I don't think in this case they will think that it was the best game from their childhood, or at least they can't argue that it wasn't bad, because we go through many, many walls that we're not supposed to go through.
Love that.
So, you know, that was fun but bad. I've not watched that one yet. James is still finishing it as we speak, but I'm sure it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Well, there's other stuff, but those are the ones we wanted to flag up.
Also, the tap appeal was still open
for
2 more weeks at the time of release. Yes.
Two weeks?
Two weeks.
Are you sure?
1 week. 1 week.
1 week.
At the time of release.
Thought so.
So make sure you submit some stuff. People are still telling me that they're sending stuff very soon. So I'm excited. We've got a whole bunch of stuff coming.
Yeah.
And I'm already getting a bit feral about it. So we need to calm myself down before we can all open.
There's a big pile of stuff already.
Feel free to still got some time to send stuff in if you are thinking about it.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone who has.
Thank you very much. Cameron Keywood has sent in question one. It says, "Hi, BAP. Fortnite recently brought back its original map and had 44.7 million players in a single day. In your opinion, is this a sign they have run out of new ideas? So let's bring old stuff back. This record-breaking amount of players surely must have brought a record single-day revenue, which comes weeks after the mass layoffs."
Yeah, that felt bad, man, when I saw their tweet being like, "Thanks so much for 44.7 million players this weekend.
But we can't afford to feed our staff."
Yeah.
So I forgot to pull up the little read that I've got here, according to Games Radar, but I'll just find it now.
Okay.
Any initial thoughts, Ashton?
My initial thoughts are, I don't know if they've run out of ideas or they just are capitalizing on the nostalgia that Fortnite had when it first, obviously, came out a few years ago now. I don't know if they've run out of ideas, but it's definitely interesting to see what they might do next. They've been going for a while now, and they have done a lot of stuff, which is interesting whether they'll pull an Overwatch and just make an Fortnite 2.
Yeah, and, they could do. Overwrite the the launcher.
It's gonna be called Weekly. Overwrite the launcher and just make it a whole brand new game. But I mean, every time I hear about the game, it looks completely different. Like every time I get a glimpse, I'm like, wait, that's what Fortnite looks like now? So,
and there's so many skins as well. Yeah. You know, everyone's playing as someone weird.
Yeah.
102 million hours played in a single day. Is according to Games Radar.
Wow.
This is an article by Ali Jones. I mean, really, it's just the information we had in the question, to be honest. They've had a record-breaking day. 44.7 million players leaping off the battle bus for a total of 102 million hours of play, which is about 11,600 years. Oh my God, when you put it in those terms. What?
What?
Really? I suppose it is.
Yeah.
100 million hours. Yeah. 11,000 years of gameplay in a single day. That's mad.
I just think, I know that obviously it's free to play and not every one of those players will have bought a battle pass or V-Bucks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And not bought new skins. But it does definitely give me the ick, like, in my stomach of, like, people got laid off 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They couldn't have even waited to, like, have this event, see if it went really well, and then be like, right, this is what we're working on now. I know that I don't know how business works. I'm not a businesswoman.
I don't know how business works, and I've managed the channel with
yeah,
Ben.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but it does feel like it must be a bitter pill to swallow for those devs who did get let go a few weeks
ago. It's got to be. It kind of adds insult to injury as well, I think, that they managed this with, like, just recycling old stuff, because Cameron asks, do we think that they're running out of ideas? I don't think so. I think creatives are creative and they will probably always come up with something new, and there must be brands that are clamoring to work with Fortnite at all times, so they can, you know, do, even if they run out of their own ideas, they could definitely just say, hey, you know, Godzilla Zero or Minus One or whatever it's called that's just coming out. There's some Godzilla film that's coming out. They could just do that, you know. Or there's like a new Marvel thing happening, isn't there?
Oh, the Marvels.
The Marvels.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, there's always going to be something that could very easily integrate with Fortnite. So I don't think they're ever going to run out of ideas or opportunities. I think they probably just thought, actually, we could just like use an old thing that we've already got. We don't have to spend any money on, really, other than maybe a little bit of fine tuning, mm-hmm. and bring it back. And people will probably still enjoy it, partly because of nostalgia and partly because even without the nostalgia, they're probably just like, oh, OK, yeah, not played mm-hmm. this in a while. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So it's kind of even worse to think that this record breaking day probably didn't even cost them that much in terms of development because they just recycled old stuff. So their profits will have been presumably even higher than they would have been for some big bespoke event that they'd made for this one day. So it really does suck that they've had all these layoffs.
I wonder if as well, like, they did it because a lot of people who kind of were big fans of Fortnite when it came out mm-hmm. have probably had lots to say about how, well, it used to be better when it first came out. Now it's too convoluted and confusing, mm-hmm. which, I mean, fair enough.
That is how they sound.
Tends to be well, they're all 13, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I do wonder if they were like, if they'd seen a lot of feedback being like, I love the good old days.
Yeah.
Bring back the first map. And they were like, sure, here you go. Here's what you wanted.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they will go back to doing what they've done before and do the seasons where it's like, they'll start again and there'll be a bunch of new stuff. They'll just go back through all the seasons again.
Well, they could do it at this point.
And do the second season again. Second 2.2 and then 3.2 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And just go around again.
Yeah.
It is interesting. And I still wonder a lot of the time how popular Fortnite is, because I feel like you don't hear it talked about as much nowadays as it used to be talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like kids still play it mm-hmm. a lot, but these are kids and they'll get, you know, for Christmas, they'll get some V-Bucks from grandma who's yeah. very confused and had the other nephew buy the V-Bucks for them.
Yes.
You know? And then you'll get like birthdays, a bunch of V-Bucks. They must make more money, I think, on merch and like assets people can buy
yeah.
outside of the game than maybe they do inside the game from
probably.
Their main consumer base. Because their main consumer base isn't even 18. Mm-hmm. They're like their children.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have pocket money. Some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough to pay for V-Bucks.
Yeah. There's a 15, 16-year-old boy in my family who has been playing Fortnite since he was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy present for us to get him every year because we don't know what boys want. I mean, I am one and I don't know. It's a very convenient way to just give money
yeah.
to them and, you know, find an easy present for a child.
Mm.
I think you might be right that they did just perhaps went for a one-off, like, oh, people keep saying like they miss the good old days. So let's do a little throwback session and then we'll move on and do some more. You know, there's some big cataclysm and the world changes again. Or even if that was the original plan, they might now think, God, we had a record-breaking day doing that. Let's just do point two again.
Yeah.
So it'll be one to watch, I suppose. We'll have to see what happens. But 11,000 years played in a single day is mad.
I wonder how much they've felt the effects of everyone launching a live service game.
Mm.
Because obviously they weren't the first to do it,
yeah.
but they did it the best.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much they have been affected by every single other studio being like, we've got a live service
game.
We'll
do it too. Yeah. Well, this is the thing there. This is the argument that we make is that these other companies choose to do live service because they're like, wow, look at all the money you can make. And then they mostly die on their ass because Fortnite has already established itself. And, you know, there's a couple of other kind of main players. And then that's kind of it. There's not really room for any more live service games. I suppose if a really, really good one came along, it could knock a different one off its perch.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's only room for a couple of these because you do have to kind of dedicate all of your gaming time to it. And you can't dedicate all of your time to two or three or four live service games. At time of recording, Warner Brothers have just said, we want to focus more on live service games going forward, which is great news, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, Fortnite have had to lay people off, which is insane for a company that has long been considered the kind of a behemoth of a live service game, like the ideal live service game.
Printing money.
And if they've had to lay people off, then it makes you think, like, I mean, obviously we've been talking for a while that there's obviously an issue in the gaming industry.
Yeah.
There's obviously something going on. There's rumblings of this for like the last few months. And it makes you think, like, if this team and this company are having to make cuts, something is happening that is much worse than I could potentially even think of.
Yeah, so, Ubisoft as well have had layoffs this week.
They've closed, what, their Canada?
Yeah, and then their, like, global, some of their global IT team or something like that. I think it's just, I say just, you know, it's a layoff. A layoff is a layoff, but I think it's
like
just
100 people or something.
Well, yeah, I think, I think it does just affect their Canada team at the moment. But, you know, they've got teams all over the world.
Good.
Yeah, feels great. Can't wait to see what happens. Yeah. I'd like to think in the case of Fortnite, it might at least be that maybe it was like misspending. I just can't understand how they can be making that much money and also need to lay people off. And maybe it's because they've, well, greed, or maybe also they've, like, yeah, they have all this money, but then they've done silly things with it and they're like, oh crap, we've like messed up here. I hope it's not because they've, I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense that they can have seemingly have that much money. I guess, you know, the costs of, you know, the running costs must be really high for such a big game, but I don't know.
Me neither.
Yeah, don't understand. But we will see what happens with Fortnite, whether they do start recycling more stuff move on to some fresh things. Yeah.
If we see season two again, then we might have they run out of ideas conversation.
Yeah.
Again. But we'll see.
Or are they just being greedy and lazy?
Yeah. Well, Peter, I thought we could try something this week while Ben's not here, because he does have a tendency to shoot down my ideas.
Yeah,
so
he
I
does,
thought
yeah.
that, you know, we'll do it while he's not here and then you can pitch it to him next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he can shoot down.
So then he can shoot down your ideas and it makes me feel less bad. It's called What We Play In.
Okay. It's What We Play In time. Time to talk.
Time to talk about games, what we have been playing.
Thanks for that.
Got you back, friend.
Thank you very much. Ashton, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a few things this week. Mm-hmm. After I finished Spider-Man, I feel like a bit aimless in gaming, and I'm not sure what I want to play or what I want to do with my time. So I played some House Flipper on my boyfriend's Steam Deck.
Right.
It's the first time I really got to use it, because he uses it all the time. He's obsessed. And it's quite good. It's quite a nifty little, I say little, it's actually massive.
A little bit of kit there.
It's pretty good, and it runs really well, and it's pretty hand, like, it feels nice to hold. It's quite heavy.
Is it?
So I wouldn't want to, like, be holding up to my face, but to just have it, like, resting on a pillow in front of me is pretty good. So I played some more House Flipper. I played some more Disney Dreamlike Valley. I went back to that. It's been a while since I've played
that.
It is. Kat was up the other week, and it was just after they announced that it's actually not going to be free to play. They kind of mugged everyone off a little bit. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No.
So they've said, like, while it was in early access, the game will be free to play.
Right.
Everyone will be able to play it for free. There'll be paid DLC, and obviously there's, like, in-game microtransactions and stuff that people pay for if they want to.
So all this time you've been playing it, has it been early access?
Well, it's early access, and you do have to buy early access, but I've been playing it on Game Pass, which it currently is on.
Oh,
so
right,
I've been playing
it
solely on Game Pass. So I haven't paid anything towards this game at all.
I don't think I knew it was early. I just assumed it was out.
It's been early access for ages now, and then the full release is the first week in December, and they did a little thing, like a little event the other day, and they announced that actually it's not going to be free to play. It's going to cost £40, and then the first DLC is going to cost £25.
Oh my god.
So, like, they've kind of really gone back on the whole free to play stuff there, very much like in your face. It's going to cost £40. I don't know how it affects people who've already bought early access, if they're going to be able to just have to pay, like, the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not really sure. But, it's going to cost money now. And so I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to play it. And Kat was like, oh, I've been playing it a lot and I still love it. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll give it another go. And a lot's, like, changed since I last played it. There's, like, new, like, different kinds of currency, because of course there is. Mm-hmm. There's new characters and new like mechanics and stuff, which is great, and I've been enjoying playing that. Also, this week, I attempted to play Gotham Knights with my boyfriend. Gotham Knights was working fine. Like, if I was in single player, fine.
Yeah.
But, hey, you're playing it on two PlayStations. Do you want to use the PlayStation inbuilt, like, online service that means you can play with your friends? Or do you want to use Warner Brothers server?
Which works great, I'm sure,
to connect. And I would be like, well, I'd like to use PlayStation, please. Well, no, sorry, you can't. You have to use Warner Bros.
Oh.
And for some reason, and we cannot figure out why, it does not like our internet. Like, it says we've been plugged in or Wi-Fi will not work. It's so weird. The only way we could get to play together, like, it constantly was coming in now, like, connect to online services. Disconnect from online services. Connected to online. We were trying for like an hour just to play together. And we managed to play together for about 10 minutes. The entire time I was lagging all over the place.
Yeah.
We ended up trying it just to like out of curiosity to be like, right, is it a Warner Bros. Issue? Because everything said, no, it's working fine.
Right.
We couldn't find any posts about anyone struggling with it on PlayStation. So we were like, what is going on? And then we connected it to one of our phones, our phone data. Mm-hmm. And it worked fine.
Oh.
So for some reason, it doesn't like Virgin Media Wi-Fi. So strange.
Wow, that's weird.
So we've tried to like change some settings for our Wi-Fi box to see if that will fix it.
Gosh.
Yeah, really weird. But that game's fine.
Yeah.
From what I've played of it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You kind of get tossed out into the open world like relatively early on. And it's like, there's crimes. And you can interrogate people, and you have to. There's this mission, this like main mission, if you want to do it, but you don't have to. And the HUD is wank. The UI just if you press the like touchpad, if you just tap it, it brings up at the top of your screen a list of every single like current mission available, mm-hmm. and then you have to go into that tab and then you press down to see the missions and then you can track it from there. But I'm like, just get me to, can I go to my menu please? Like, I'd like to go to my menu. And I couldn't figure out how to add abilities on for ages, and mm-hmm. you can't leave until you've done abilities. And I was like, it just says add abilities in the ability menu by pressing the touchpad. And I'm like, okay, well, you're just bringing me, that's just telling me what I need to do. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like you have to hold it down, but it doesn't tell you that.
Okay.
And when you go into the like control settings, it says press R1 to bring up the ability menu. That don't work. That's not, it's not it. When you're out in the world, you press R1 and on the D-pad to get your ability to work.
Right.
But, like, that's not the ability menu. So I don't know why it tells you that. Anyway. It's the whole thing, and I'm not actually playing much of it yet, but I'm hoping at some point soon I'll be able to play through Gotham Knights.
Must be a bit of a shock to go from one of the best superhero games ever made to Gotham what sounds Knights. Like a bit of a wonky one.
Yeah, well, I already miss being able to fly,
yeah.
which I can do in Spider-Man. So,
well, I'm thinking of in a couple of weeks' time when I'm freed up from other things that I need to play for streams, I wanted to play the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 1 game, which I had on PS2 back in the day and used to really enjoy. And I've always wanted to stream it. And I thought, oh, that would be kind of funny. Like, yeah. Spider-Man's just come out and then I'll play, like, the really old one. I was looking at some footage the other day and just watching him crawl up a building. There's no sprinting up walls. He's just going like that.
So slow.
It was really slow. And I was like, oh my God, can I actually play this game without just losing my mind? You can sort of like web zip, I think, but yeah.
And then the last thing I've played, which kind of just happened to come across on PlayStation Plus, is called Call of the Sea. Have you heard of this one?
I might have done. What does it look like?
It's first person, and it's almost a bit like a walking sim.
Yeah.
And it's a puzzle game.
Right.
You're a posh English lady called Nora, who has some kind of disease, and her husband has gone to this island to like try and find a cure for her.
Right.
And you're like following behind them, like you're kind of encountering their camps and stuff as you go.
Right.
It's actually a pretty good game. I finished it the other day. I really enjoyed it, actually. If you're looking for kind of, it's a bit more game, like puzzle gamey than say like a Firewatch or but actually, it's a really fun game and fully recommend if you've got PlayStation Plus. And it's quite short as well, so if you're looking for a little jaunt.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that game. And it looks great as well.
Yeah.
And the puzzles didn't feel cheap. or like difficult to solve. A couple of times it's just because I was missing things.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a pretty good game.
Sounds good. I have played a little bit more Spider-Man, but wow, to go from, you know, wanting to go home every day and I was just thinking about Spider-Man all the time and playing it every evening that I wasn't knackered. This week, I've not played that much of it. Not because I don't like it anymore or anything, but I just feel like once I got past the main story, I kind of took a bit of a sigh of relief. And then, I don't know. When I do pick it up, on the couple of times I picked it up this week, I've really enjoyed myself. But I'm not feeling the pull as much.
I always find it really hard to go back to a game when you finish the story and then like mop up everything else. I always try and get everything done before I finish the story. Because I know my brain's like, we've finished that game.
Yeah.
So why are we going back to it? And I'm like, no, there's other stuff
That's
to do.
Kind of it, yeah. So when I've played it, I've enjoyed it. But I've not felt like hugely motivated to go back to it. And so at the same time, I've been playing, again, I don't want to say a palate cleanser because that implies that, well,
you had a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, sort of. But, you know, just something a bit like that I can just sit down and almost mindlessly go through. And because it's been Halloween, I've seen, well, partly because it's been Halloween, I've seen a few people playing Little Nightmares 1. Emilition's just finished playing it. Someone else I follow.
They should play the second one, I think.
Oh, was it the second one? Yeah. Yeah, it was actually, yeah. Someone else I follow was playing the first one. And also they've released the first little clip of Little Nightmares 3.
Oh, the third one, yeah.
So social media was saying, hey, remember Little Nightmares? And I was like, yes, I do. It's been a little while and it's still kind of, we're on post-spooky time. So I just sat down and played through Little Nightmares in not all in one go, in two sessions this week and just had a good time. I know most of the solutions kind of straight away now to the puzzles and stuff. So it was just like a, oh, yeah, this thing. So something familiar that I don't have to think about. And a little bit kind of slightly spooky. But again, I'm a big brave boy now and I know what's going
to
happen.
I never finished the second one because I got too spooked out and I just couldn't bring myself to go back to it.
Which bit?
It was the mannequin bit.
Yeah.
And I just was like, no, 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 I can't do this. I've watched too much Doctor Who and watched this, like, I've played, seen Weeping Angels. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, the mannequins are horrible.
I haven't picked, I played it when I was back at my flat, so it must have been like over a year and a half ago now. And I just, I got so spooked out that I just uninstalled it.
Yeah.
I was like, I just can't bring myself to go back to this.
Well, that's the thing. I'm now tempted to move on to the second one because I think I've only played that one. I played it through the once on my own and I think we also streamed it. Were you here for that or was it me and Ben?
It was just you and Ben.
So I've kind of played it twice, but almost like back to back, like, so I kind of feel like I've only played it once essentially. So yeah, I don't know that one as well. I don't remember all the spooky things that happened, so I'm kind of like, yeah, if I wanted a slightly more unnerving experience, I could play that one again and I definitely would be a little bit more kind of on edge. And the third one looks really good. I was a bit worried about, I mean, they've only shown a little tiny bit, but I was worried that they might kind of change the style up a little bit because it's no longer what they called those guys who developed the original two. I don't know. I want to say like,
Don't Nod comes to mind, but that's not right. It's just, no. I think maybe it's just because I've been
playing. I should know because it's come up on my screen the past.
Yeah, you should, to really, to be honest, you should know.
I should know.
Is it Supermassive now that I've taken on it?
It might be Supermassive now, yeah. Tarsia Studios were the original.
Is it Bandai Namco?
Yeah, I think Bandai Namco publish it.
And I think it's Supermassive take on the third one.
I think so. I'll find that out as well.
Because we all thought it was a Dark Pictures game at first, but no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a little
It is Supermassive.
Yeah.
So I was worried that they might like not quite get the visual style right or, you know, kind of change up the way it plays. But it looks basically, you know, it seems to just be made in the same engine with the same sort of puzzle design.
It's just two-player, isn't it?
But it's two-player, but I assume you can probably play it one-player with AI because in the second game, you did have an AI companion.
Yeah.
So presumably the same will work in this case. But yeah, so I've mostly played Little Nightmares 1 and a bit of Spider-Man again. And maybe I'll play the next Little Nightmares next week. Don't know.
Well, it's time for question two now, Peter.
It is.
Comes from Chris McVeigh. Hi, app. Big news in the world of video game movies. A live-action Zelda movie is now officially in production.
What?
We know very little about it in this early stage, but I'm curious what you guys think of the announcement. Is it the start of the MCU? What does it mean if the producer's recent credits include Morbius and the Uncharted movie? And which character will Chris Pratt play this time? Much to think about. There is much to think about.
Thank you, Chris. There is much.
If you haven't seen this, Miyamoto did a few tweets being like, we're making a game.
But he did it from the official Nintendo account and started
with... It's me, Miyamoto.
This is Miyamoto.
Yeah,
it's a me.
Yeah, and they've announced that they are making a live-action Zelda game. So that is interesting.
Movie, sorry.
Imagine a game.
Whoa, a live-action Zelda game.
Yeah, it's an FMV game.
Oh, my God. So this is interesting. I've seen some people sort of... I saw a couple of different people tweeting similar things, which was like, oh, Legend of Zelda movie. Oh, and then, oh, live action.
That's kind of my exact thought as well, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate that it's a live action movie, but I think it's going to be really easy to mess up as a live action movie because it's corny as hell. Mm-hmm. It's cheesy. Like,
it is.
There's obviously serious moments in every game. Even the cheesiest games can have serious moments. But Zelda and Link and like the whole, all the like cast of characters and the way that they're designed are mad corny. Like, I could never imagine that in just real life.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And the thought of just seeing Link talking and just having a conversation as a live action person just kind of, it kind of grounds him too much. You know, when he's presented the way he is and, you know, often making no noise whatsoever or, you know, occasional grunts, it kind of adds more to that kind of elfin kind of, he's not really a real person. He's almost a bit Peter Pan sort of idea. But if he's just like a character, you know, I almost hope if they're going to do live action in quotes, that it's kind of live action with filters applied, for want of a better term. You know, a bit like the Tintin movie or something, which was, you know, it was CG in the sense that the whole thing was digitally altered, but it was, I think, mo-capped all the way through.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I'd like it to be like the Cats movie.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
no, I wouldn't. I don't want that.
No, but I mean, we jest. But yeah, I think, honestly, I think that might be the best way to play it. You know, that is still potentially on the cards. They could still be calling it live action, but it doesn't necessarily look photorealistic.
It's just not an animated movie.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, if they were going to do that, given the choice of the two terms, both of which sort of apply, I think you would still lean towards calling it animated, even if it is, you know, very much captured in a live action setting and then just sort of painted over. So I don't know. I think it would be better animated, but I don't think when Chris McVeigh asked the question, it's necessarily the start of the MCU in the sense of, obviously, it's not going to be a kind of a shared multiverse.
No.
I mean, you only need to know that they're creating them in very different visual styles to see that, but that's probably not exactly what Chris is asking. Is it the start of a whole series of different Nintendo movies? Could be. That is starting
what
to look
ones
like
would
it
you
might...
like?
Ooh.
Because you've got obviously Mario and Zelda, they're the big boys.
Yeah.
And then, like, what are they going to do next? Pikmin. Metroid.
Donkey Kong,
yeah. What other games do they have?
I don't know.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metroid could be an interesting one.
Metroid could be. But the thing about it is that I don't see Nintendo making a movie that is for adults.
No, because that's the thing. Because Metroid would have to be fairly gritty, I think.
Exactly.
To work.
And I think with this as well, obviously, like, fans of Zelda is a game that you could look at face value and say, this is a game for kids. Especially like the older games. Not so much now with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. But like, it depends whether that they would do a movie for the fans who have grown up with Zelda, who are now adults, or kids.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, a different vibe as well. I mean, obviously, I can't remember the name of the guy who's producing it. Is it Ariansori or is that... Someone else. That might
be
someone else.
I'm not sure. I've not actually read that much about this. Just saw the initial tweets.
But his other movies aren't necessarily a kid's movie. Like, mm-hmm. Morbius obviously isn't a kid's movie.
Yes.
Uncharted isn't a kid's movie. I mean, it's PG-13, I'm pretty sure, but it's not a kid's movie.
Avi Arad.
Oh, I was close. I was thinking of someone else.
You were.
Avi Arad.
I assume that's how it's said out loud, but that's how it's spelled.
But it is interesting to think about what they're going to do with it. But I don't know how this will work. Mario as an animated movie makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Like, those two things go hand in hand. It basically, in a lot of games, could be a movie with the cutscenes and stuff. That's fine. But yeah, I think it would be very interesting to see a live action Zelda. And I think that there would have to be a change in, like, vibe, for want of a better phrase, in terms of, like, how it translates from games to movies. And also, how would they do an origin story?
Because
the timeline doesn't make any sense now anyway. So they could completely just, like, make it up from the get-go. But I don't know if it would be that interesting to see an origin story, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, as Link as a kid, he like, oh, I'm in love with this princess. She's been kidnapped. Best save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's the story that they'll go for, or they'll pick a game and like retell the game.
Yeah, that's the other option. They might maybe just pick Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, either as one movie or two, given that they're the most recent and relevant, or maybe they'll go back to whatever they think is the most beloved game. Maybe Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Majora's Mask would make an interesting movie, visually speaking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, time will tell. Chris Pratt will play everyone.
Tingle. He'll play Tingle.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I want him to play Navi.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. That's not the voice.
That's his Mario impression.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
In terms of MCU, what we'd like to see more of, I was thinking when you were talking just then, surely, if they do a Mario sequel, after that, they could do a spin-off of Luigi's Mansion, couldn't they?
They could.
The models are there. The cast is there. They can just, you know, do a random spin-off where he goes ghost hunting.
Well, he kind of went ghost hunting in this one.
Oh, did he? Well, I didn't
watch it. A little spooky... He went into an old creepy house.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that in the trailer.
At the beginning of the movie. Yeah. So he did kind of... We did get a little bit of a callback to that.
Right.
And we did get Donkey Kong, and we did get Peach, and we did get Toad. So, like, unless we have spin-off movies from them, which we might do, like they could definitely do it, maybe not as big budget as the original Mario movie, but it'd be interesting to see how they could separate these characters and make new content with them.
Yeah,
because Mario is obviously the most famous franchise, and I don't know how many other of their franchises would have mass appeal like Mario does.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of rare games that you know, are no longer theirs. It's Microsoft now. But I wouldn't mind seeing a Banjo game or I think a Conker game. We're saying game, I mean movie.
Yeah.
A Banjo movie or a Conker movie could be pretty funny. And that could be more targeted to adults. It could be a bit cringe, though. You know, sometimes when they try and do these sort of, you know, like Naughty Bear and stuff, it's like, okay, right. I get it. I get the joke. But... we'll have to see, but it does kind of look like they're maybe moving more towards doing more films. I don't know what the exact licensing deals were in terms of Detective Pikachu. Was that officially with Nintendo, or is it just the Pokemon company?
Well, there's been loads of Pokemon stuff, isn't there? So that I reckon that would be Pokemon company.
I don't think Nintendo have a hand in that.
No, they're probably, you know, the name's probably on it, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not their movie. It's the Pokemon company's movie.
No, but at least by association, you know, Detective Pikachu did very well, and there's a sequel coming out, right? Isn't there? I think
there's a game sequel.
I think there's a...
Is there another... They're making another movie?
I think they might be.
I didn't know they were making another movie.
I'm doing a lot of Googling today. Detective Pikachu. I'm sure I read...
Pikachu is what it would be called.
Let me see. Detective Pikachu 2 film. After 4 years of anticipation, news of a Detective Pikachu sequel finally emerged earlier this year. That was written in June 2023.
Oh.
So I don't know
I've slept since then, so I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, you know, they announce these things and then they don't always happen. But Detective Pikachu, yeah, all right, it's Nintendo adjacent, but at least you think of Nintendo when you see that. And then we've had Mario doing very well, and then Zelda is potentially coming out.
I mean, we're years off this.
We are years off, but it seems like Nintendo or Nintendo-associated films are happening and potentially going to do very well. We'll have to see how Zelda goes. And then, yeah, they could go in any direction after that.
Mm. Well, from weird movies now to weird news.
Yeah. Oh, straight in.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Weird news time. It's time to talk about some weird video game news. But before we get to that, we would like to thank our podcast producers who have sent in weird news. Of course, you can submit questions for this podcast, as we mentioned earlier. But if you want a guaranteed shout out, you can do that. You can get that by being a podcast producer and sponsoring the Weird News segment.
Yes. If you'd like to submit weird news to this the podcast, the post goes out every Tuesday on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And you might get your name read out. But like Peter says, if you want to guarantee yourself a shout out, then you can go to Patreon. Just like.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. G.Y. Goliath.
Nicole Hansen.
Duncan Wilson.
Katie Garrett.
We got clarification this week.
It's a hard G. Yeah. Katie Garrett. Okay.
Eric Siu.
Potato Shack 99.
Melody Elbonet.
Nexus Polaris.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Blake Thomas.
Janet Wicks.
And Great Giggity.
Thank you
so... Or is
so...
it Great Jiggity?
No, don't ask.
No.
No, we can't take it. Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you so much. Got some weird news over there, Peter?
I've got some that were submitted via Facebook from Blake Thomas. I didn't actually note down whether Blake Thomas is a top fan, but...
I think Blake Thomas probably. Is a top fan.
This is according to gamesradar.com. Brace yourselves. GTA 6 skeptic promised to drink their own urine if there was an announcement this week, hyphen, and now, quote, the deed is done.
Peter told me what news he'd picked by saying, I'll take piss news.
I think I put, I'll take piss news, I guess, question mark or something. Yeah. And then
I
read
it. About it.
No. And it's sort of worse than it even sounds.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a really short article where, all right, someone said they drink their own piss and they did. But it's worse.
Oh, no.
This is written by Dustin Bailey, published about 19 hours ago, it says. Yesterday, one fan declared that if GTA 6 were officially announced this week, they would drink their own urine. They have now made good on that promise. Earlier this week, rumours and reports began to circulate that a proper GTA 6 announcement was coming soon. Of course, between the leaks and Rockstar's acknowledgement of them, and we'll get to that in a moment, will we?
No.
No, we won't. I thought we had a question about it, but we don't.
No, we don't have a question about it. But
that happened this week. We already know the game is in the works, but it's never formally been announced. Technically, we don't even know for sure that it's going to be called Grand Theft Auto 6. With that in mind, a lot of series fans were sceptical that this would be the week for a major announcement. One of those sceptics was Reddit user Johnny Rockhard 62, who made a post saying that, quote, if GTA 6 gets announced this week, I'll drink my own piss. Pressed for details by other commenters who wouldn't let things go, Johnny Rockhard 62 said, the plan is to record... This is where it gets bad. The plan is to record a video of me pissing into a coffee cup with my wiener out of frame because personal boundaries.
Yeah.
What do you mean because Johnny personal Rock boundaries?
Hard.
Johnny Rockhard, you're posting a video of you drinking your own piss. Plan is to record a video of me pissing into a coffee cup with my wiener out of frame because personal boundaries.
Wiener. Are you 10?
Then I'll drink it, but without my face. I'll do some epic ASMR. I don't know. You probably already know where this story is going. Rockstar did indeed officially announce GTA 6 earlier today, promising a trailer set to launch in early December. A few hours later, Johnny Rockhard 62 updated their post, lamenting that it ended up being less than a flipping day. He did not say flipping. That edit also included a link to a video from their YouTube account, appropriately named GTA 6 Piss Drinker.
You don't have to do it.
No, you don't.
Nobody knows who you are, Johnny Rockhard. No one is going to come to your house and tell you you have to drink your own piss.
Or you could have just posted saying, I did it. And then, yeah, everyone would have said, no, you didn't, but who cares?
Pretend weed in a cup and then drunk and been like, I'll drink it now. Mm-hmm. And then cut, poured the piss away and drunk water.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not even going to show yourself drinking it, maybe he didn't actually drink his own piss.
Probably not.
But I just but feel like, why would you bother?
Yeah.
Weirdo.
The article writer continues, look, I've only skimmed the video because, dear God, I do not actually want to watch this, but it appears to make good on Johnny Rockhard 62's initial promise. With no face or genitals visible, it would admittedly be pretty easy to fake the urine drinking, but honestly, I'm much happier about this whole story if it is fake. Everyone gets a fun story and nobody actually has to drink any urine. If it is real, well, I guess I can respect that too. I mean, maybe not respect, but you get the idea. And that's the end. Oh, yeah. I know. And then it also, I forgot about this. It links at the very bottom to a different article. One MMO player took much better odds on a bet that involved pouring hot coffee on his butthole. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm not sure who ended up in the worst position here.
Why? Why? Why?
That was in May 2023. MMO player begrudgingly pours hot coffee on his butthole after losing bet over a 1 in 10,000 drop that his rival spent 200 days grinding for.
I don't know if this is a gender thing, right?
Yeah.
But if I make a bet with my friends, we almost never cash in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's silly. When you make a bet, you're not doing it for real.
Yeah.
If I say, I'll give you £100 if this comes true, I'm not going to give you £100.
Especially bets like, if that happens, I'll drink my own piss. No one says, go on, eat your hat.
Yeah.
You said you would eat your hat.
It's very like frat house energy.
Yeah,
of like, you said you drink my piss, drink my piss. Like, that's what the energy is.
Hold him down.
Gonna, yeah, that's, I don't get it.
No.
I don't understand it. It's so strange.
I'd like to think that he didn't drink his own piss, but like,
let's live in a world where he didn't drink his own piss.
No, but then it's obviously so easy to fake drinking your own piss that no one's going to believe you did it. So if you did do it, why did you do it? Because no one's going to believe it anyway. And if you didn't do it, why did you even bother faking it? Because everyone knows it's fake. So this whole thing is stupid.
Unless we saw it go straight from the wiener
if he lay
to
on
the
his
mouth.
Back, put his legs behind
or
his
even
head.
Like if the shot was a wide shot and you watched him do it, not that I'd want to, but if you did and then he drank it straight from that cup, okay, then I could potentially believe that it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, hey, in this version of reality, he didn't.
He didn't do it.
It's fake.
Yeah.
Johnny Rockhard, stupid. Anyway, I have some news from Jonathan Wong. Hopefully not Johnny Rockhard.
Hopefully it's not a Rockhard Wong.
Yeah, on Facebook. Thank you so much, Jonathan. From Kotaku by Zach Zweizen. Bored ape NFT partygoers blame UV lights for burnt eyes and skin. Have you seen this?
I saw the headline when I was looking for weird news, and I saw the image that they put of a bunch of bored apes
with red eyes. Yeah. So I saw a bunch of tweets about this the other day.
I did not see this at all.
Interesting. So, I mean, you can tell the kind of people that are going to attend this event, but folks attending a large NFT Ape Fest concert left with eye pain, poor vision, and burned skin.
God.
After returning from a large exclusive party over the weekend, some Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT owners are complaining about severe eye pains, skin burns, and poor vision potentially caused by powerful UV lights used at the event.
God.
Some folks reported the pain was so bad they had to go to the hospital for treatment. From November 3rd to November 5th, Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT owners gathered in Hong Kong for Ape Fest. a large party, an event that reportedly saw over 2,000 people show up to dance around and pretend the NFT market hasn't completely cratered in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they afforded to go to Hong Kong, because I thought most of them don't have any money anymore.
Well, yeah, I was just about to look up the drop in price of Bored Apes. Please continue.
Only those who owned a Baysea NFT, I mean, that's Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT, were able to attend the exclusive event. Pitch from the weekend's party show, a big stage where a concert was held for attendees. But now many partygoers are dealing with excruciating eye pain potentially caused by UV lights used during the concert.
Jesus.
Kotaku want me to subscribe to their website. No, thank you. Anyone else's eyes burning from last night? Woke up at 3 a.m. with extreme pain and ended in the ER. Treated Feld4014 to the website formerly known as Twitter. Other people who supposedly attend the ape concert replied, voicing similar medical issues. I woke up at 4 a.m. and I couldn't see anymore. CryptoJune777 replied. Had so much pain, my whole skin is burned. Needed to go to the hospital. Doctor told me the UV of the lighting on the stage did it. It has the same effect as sunlight.
Yeah.
Photos from the event seem to show powerful non-RGB LED light bars on stage that could be powerful UV lights. In 2017, a Hong Kong party blinded attendees with UV lights. They were purposely designed for medical disinfection.
Oh,
at this moment, UV lights aren't confirmed to be the cause of the Ape Fest injuries. However, one partygoer was recently diagnosed with photokeratitis, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as welder's
keratitis, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. Also known as welder's eye, and was prescribed steroid eye drops and lubricants to help treat the condition. So many people have been complaining of eye pain after the event that one Bored Ape owner started a thread with tips on how to treat welder's eye pain. The company behind Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT project, Yuga Labs, told Kotaku that they are aware of the situation and are taking it seriously. It also said it was directly contacting partygoers who were affected and investigating what happened to find the true root of the cause. True root cause of the multiple eye pain and skin burn complaints. So yeah. It's a bit of a mess.
I mean,
based on our estimates, 15 people we've been in direct contact with so far represent less than 1% of the approximately 2,250 event attendees and staff on Saturday night. I saw a picture of, like, someone had taken a picture in the bathroom of this event, and someone else had replied being like, those UV strips around the top of the bathroom are literally what they use in sunbeds. Like,
oh my God. Like, you'd think there would be, like, there probably are regulations on this that have just been breached here, but
yeah,
that's
insane.
You
wonder if it's like the location, like the venue, or if it's the actual event that put the lights up.
Well, yeah,
and they were trying to cut costs and they bought the wrong kind of lights. But you'd think that, like, it's interesting to find out that this has all gone on for certain people who make bad life choices anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't deserve
to
go blind or anything, but
yeah, don't wish pain and suffering on anyone, but you know, it's
a sign you've made a poor life choice.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
How much is
hashtag
NFT
victim
worth?
Blaming. NFTs on average have gone down 88% in value, and the reason I was scrolling around for so long is because I was trying to find, I knew that I'd seen a specific instance of like a celebrity's NFT recently, and it was Justin Bieber's. I found it now. Justin Bieber's Bored Ape NFT was valued at $1.3 million in 2022. Now it's only worth around $60,000, and that's a Justin Bieber one is $60,000, so most of them are worth,
it's just a picture. It's just a picture, isn't it
that was worth $1.2 million.
Ridiculous. Mm. Wow. Now it's time, Peter.
Yes.
For the big discussion.
Oh. Big discussion time. Time to do the big video game discussion. It's sent in by Robert Golding, who says, hello there, BAP. It's actually just app.
Yeah,
today.
Get it right.
Pa. Hey, pa. It was announced that Xbox has struck a partnership with InWorld to generate AI-powered characters, stories, and quests into their games, Ashton Matthews.
It makes me so angry, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
This includes a system that Xbox developers can use to create detailed scripts, dialogue trees, quest lines, and more through AI. Is this a worrying sign for the future of the industry, where the largest company in terms of monetary value in Microsoft has taken such a step into the field? And what, if anything, is going to be the stopper for AI-powered content generation being used in gaming everywhere?
Yeah. Shall I tell you a bit about this?
Yes, please.
So this is from Eurogamer by Liv, I think it's Nagan? Maybe I might be wrong. Microsoft and AI company InWorld AI have announced a multi-year co-development partnership, which will see the companies work to develop a range of AI tools for Xbox's studios. These tools include an AI design co-pilot and AI character runtime engine. The design co-pilot will be able to take prompts and turn them into detailed scripts, dialogue trees, quests, and more, the company said. The character runtime will enable entirely new narratives with dynamically generated stories, quests, and dialogue. In a statement accompanying the announcement, General Manager of Gaming AI at Xbox, Haiyan Zhang, said the partnership will combine InWorld's expertise in working with generative AI models for character development and Xbox strengths in revolutionizing accessible and responsible creator tools for all developers. Responsible and accessible creator tools for all developers? Interesting. Sounds like you're just getting an AI to do a person job.
Yeah. For all developers, except the ones we will be able to lay off because we don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this comes not long after news has broken that the SAG-AFTRA strikes have tentatively come to an end now. I think there's still, at the time of recording, there's like a proposed
they're like finalizing
deal. They need to go back and have like another meeting. But the strike is officially postponed and potentially will not be continuing. So that's good news for actors. They have said that there appears to be AI-based like protection in there, because mm-hmm. that was one of the big issues actors were worried about, was their likenesses being used in AI-generated content and so on and so forth. So my suggestion to the second part of Robert Golding's question is what is going to be the stopper for AI-powered content generation? It would be nice if, people unionized and had a big strike and said, no, you're not taking my job away from me and replacing me with a robot.
It does feel like we've said that a lot recently.
It does feel like we've said that a lot recently.
But it's because
a lot of this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is how one way in which this could be sort of combated. But it's probably a bit more difficult in this instance, because I think there's probably more kind of legal basis to be able to say, hey, you're not just going to like use my likeness as an actor going forward. Mm. I want to like fight you on this. It's harder for someone to argue and say, no, we are actually, and you can't stop us. Whereas when it's just a company saying, look, we know that like we need you as a developer, but if you're going to say, I'm not going to develop for you because you've also got this robot over here doing a different bit of development, then they could. You don't need specific developers as much as you need specific actors, if you see what I mean. You know, if whoever, Tom Holland, is saying, I'm not going to act until you give us all a fair deal, that probably makes more of a difference when you want to get Tom Holland back on your books rather than, some, relatively speaking, anonymous developer who could be replaced by someone else who might be willing mm-hmm. to be a scab. So that's worrying. How do you feel about generally the idea of AI generated content in games?
I think that some people will say that, oh well, it's useful for smaller developers. Mm. If people can't draw, they'll use an AI drawing or blah, 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 blah. And I understand that. I do. I can understand why a smaller developer might see the appeal of AI help in certain things. Mm-hmm. However, for time immemorial of video games, people haven't had AI. And small developers and small games have been made by one person or a small team.
Yeah.
And have come out brilliantly and have become cult classics or just, in general, a very good game. Take Stardew Valley, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that some people like it's the art that's stopping them. Fair enough. But also there's so many freelance artists out there that most of them, like when they're getting started, don't charge very much because they're getting the experience, which is kind of helps you out by getting in contact with someone who's learning how to do this stuff and helps them out by giving them experience. And my worry is that because of the ease of access of AI, it stops people getting into it, because if you're a developer, an individual developer, and you say, well, I use AI art in my drawing, in my stuff,
mm-hmm.
well, then why not then some artist who could have potentially worked with you on your game is now no longer getting work because you've decided to use a robot to draw it, which, by the way, will still steal other people's art and create it that
Most
way.
Most of them are trained on other artists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for writing, when people use things like ChatGPT or whatever's better than that now, I literally don't follow AI because it makes me so mad.
Yeah.
To write scripts, you're taking work out of the hands of someone who is a writer mm-hmm. and would probably be quite excited to work on a video game. You know, there's so many students now, like current students, and I'm not saying don't pay people for like their first few times. Obviously, being paid is very important. However, if you're a single member and you're like, I want someone to help me write it, I can do all the technology. Mm-hmm. I want someone to help me write it and someone to help me draw it. Like, and you form a small team of people who are on the same level as you, and you say, like, look, we can all do this together, like, as a team.
Yeah.
That's way different than just going, well, I'll get some AI to write it, some AI to draw on it, and I'll just make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
at this point, we already know that there's probably going to be AI out there that could stitch stuff together well enough to kind of make a game.
Yeah.
Admittedly, like, things that they're coming out with are not perfect. They're mm-hmm. not. They still need a helping hand from humans, and they still need polishing and tidying up and changing and making more human in the way they write and design things.
And draw hands.
And I've seen some people say, like, that AI creates, but it doesn't imagine, which is very much true. Like, mm-hmm. you can't ask an AI to do something because it will just find other things from around. It doesn't create new stuff off the top of its head because mm-hmm. it's an AI, it's a robot. And I think that it's scary to see how acceptable it's becoming to just use it in both an individual. And I'm not, if you are someone who's using AI, I don't want you to feel like I'm shaming you. I think it's great that you're trying like your hand at making a game and stuff, but I would urge you to consider other avenues first is basically what I'm saying. And if Microsoft are so blatantly proud of doing things that will write detailed scripts or create detailed characters, then what hope is there for anyone getting into the industry? We've had 6,000 layoffs this year.
Yeah.
And then you're going to just be like, well, but this AI can do your job. Mm-hmm. So why would we hire you to do it? Well, there's no reason to get into the gaming industry right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be scary. And especially, you know, as you say, certainly at the moment, AI isn't even necessarily doing, well, it's definitely not at the moment doing as good a job as a human being could do. Mm-hmm. It might be working quicker or with fewer complaints and, you know, not have to...
For less money, maybe.
Yeah, less money, exactly. But it doesn't produce stuff that is as good as what a fairly talented developer could do. But, you know, you're right. There are so many up-and-coming people in this industry who are, you know, looking for their break or looking for some early experience. And yeah, I hate it when people say like, oh, will you draw a picture for me and I will give you a shout
exposure,
out. Exposure. Yeah. Like we're not suggesting that. But if you are kind of at the bottom rung of the ladder and you're trying to get into it, you're probably not charging as much as someone who's way higher. So yeah, it's not, I'm not saying work for exposure, but there are people who are more affordable to bring into your team if that's something that you need. And especially in the world of crowdfunding as well. Mm-hmm. Again, I know that not necessarily every indie sort of bedroom hobbyist developer is going to feel like they can set up a Kickstarter for their project or be confident enough that they could produce something that could warrant having people invest money in it. But maybe a couple of steps up from that, if you are someone who really is actually looking to get into developing an indie game that you think could go places, but you still don't have the support of a big team, that is where you can kickstart something, and that is how you can pay to bring people on. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to make music, or if you're not a very good artist, and you're thinking, do I use AI? It's cheap. Well, yeah, it is cheaper. It's not as good. It's taking away work from someone who could be doing it for you. And if you don't have the money now, you could try crowdfunding, potentially.
Yeah.
That's an option. But it's worrying. I mean, in order to give like a balanced argument, I feel like I should try and put myself in the position of devil's advocate and think about how this might impact the quality of video games in any kind of positive way. And all I can think of is that it could be interesting to see what sort of, what would you call them? Kind of like random encounter quests can be built into video games. So it's not clear here whether they're talking specifically about using AI in the development process in order to generate content and ideas that will then be implemented into a game, or if they're talking even about implementing systems into the game that can generate new stuff once the user has hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more in the kind of the earlier stages rather than kind of post-production. But I can see where this might end up going. And something that I enjoyed in the likes of, say, Skyrim, was when you were wandering around and you would get attacked by a highwayman, or someone would say, hey, I know what you did, or, you know, something like that. And those kinds of random encounters in Red Dead Redemption, or, you know, Bethesda RPGs, or whatever you're talking about, are fun. And I can see how AI, an AI system implemented into the game, could be really interesting in like generating new stuff that no one else has necessarily experienced in exactly that way. But having said all that, I'm literally just saying it in the interest of balance and playing devil's advocate, because I don't like the idea of any of this. I can see uses for it that could produce some interesting stuff.
What I've been really enjoying about the Spider-Man discourse recently is that whenever someone points out something that they found in the game, be it like a conversation that happens between two NPCs, or a side quest, or like a random encounter that's happened, you'll always see the developers being like, hey, we made that, or like, we did that, and that like warms my heart. And maybe like, I don't want to be chronically online about it, but it's nice to like see the conversations online about like, wow, you did such a good job, like, congrats, or like, that's my voice. It's like, oh, I loved this conversation, thought it was so funny, like, or people actively going out of their way to find stuff that people have said it's theirs to work on. And I just think AI just takes away from the human element and the human experience in games.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe games sometimes release broken, which we talked about last week. This will happen. But AI is not necessarily going to fix that.
No.
And I think that Xbox partnering with InWorld and this AI system that they brought in is such a kick in the teeth to so many developers and so many people. And do you know what really annoyed me this week? And I tweeted about it. The Game Awards just posted this post. Like, they were like, Xbox are partnered with InWorld to do this.
Mm-hmm.
No, even a little bit of like any kind of comment on it. They just reposted it. The Game Awards, the awards that are designed to celebrate the teams behind the games.
Yeah.
They said, robots are coming.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Woo. So, and as you joked,
I got well mad.
They'll be like, will they be giving out awards to ChatGPT next year?
Yeah.
You know, or I'm obviously being facetious, but yeah. And you're right, actually, you know, random encounters don't have to be literally randomly generated by a robot. Mm-hmm. Random encounters have been happening in games for years now.
Well, like you mentioned, it was in Skyrim, and there's no AI in that in terms of like create. There is AI in games, like NPCs and
AI. They have AI, but
in terms of like AI developing content for the game,
or you know, and in something more recent like Spider-Man, there are moments where you know a crime is happening, or you know you bump into something happening in the street. All of those things, they're called random encounters, but they don't have to be truly randomly generated by a robot in order to work well. The ones that we have experienced in those games we've mentioned were all actually just designed by a human being, and they just pop up at random.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason we can't just carry on doing it that way. We don't have to have it that they just spawn out of nowhere. I can see some interesting things being generated if a robot was literally creating quests out of nowhere in a video game. That could be really enjoyable and give everyone a unique experience. But equally, it could be really bad because you don't have a human being there that has the actual quality control in its head to say, is this a good quest, or does this make sense in the lore of the universe that we're dealing with here, or is this even fun, or does this contradict a different thing that we generated yesterday? You know, so giving the reins to a robot that doesn't truly have that actual creative spark, and it doesn't genuinely have a proper understanding of the nature of this product, it's a worrying thing.
I don't know that a human will have to be there to feed in the ideas or, you know, tell it what you need it to do. But like, if you've got a team of developers where one person is your ideas man, and then from that one person, you've got 10, 15, 20 people who also like will conversate, will have a conversation about this idea, it will trickle down and become something potentially totally different, but it will begin with this initial idea. But because of conversation and the nature of like different people having opinions and different minds working together, ideas become full and they flower into something that's completely different than the original seed.
Yeah.
Because that's just how it works. If you tell a robot your idea, if you tell the AI the idea, your AI is just going to do it. It's going to do what you told it to do. It's not going to have any influence or creative control or ideas about your idea. It's just gonna do it. And I think that's where it will also lose its uniqueness. It will lose its like flair. It will lose all those special touches that make things like this good. And I know all the tech bros might be in the comments, might be getting really angry. This bro doesn't know what she's talking about. And no, I don't. I don't care about AI. I don't read about it. I only see what it's done to people and how it affects people.
Yeah.
And that is why I think AI is bad.
Yeah.
It could be a technical wonder. It could be like, look, we tell this drawing and it paints just like Van Gogh and it creates art. Cool. Van Gogh already painted like that. That's Van Gogh stuff. So I don't care that this AI has painted like Van Gogh or made a painting that's like, wow, it looks like Van Gogh did it. Because Van Gogh didn't do it. And AI did it by stealing someone else's stuff.
This is the thing, like, you know, people, there will be some people in the chat, whether they're tech bros or not tech bros, but, you know, people who are interested in where this could go, who might say, well, actually, I think you'll find that AI does have a level of creativity and it can combine ideas together and stuff. And it's partly semantics. Like, how do you define creativity? And, you know, if it's just rooted in stuff that, in the foundations, it has just been fed a load of information that it's combining. Is that true creativity or is it an illusion of creativity? It can do things that we as human beings can do and call creative, where you do just take two things together. You know, I could take like dinosaurs and ninjas and say, I'm going to make a game where ninjas go around on dinosaurs' backs. An AI could do that and it would understand what a ninja is and a dinosaur and say...
But then I might say, why don't you make the dinosaur a ninja?
Yeah.
And then the conversation changes and that's a new...
And we're having a conversation. Yeah. And there's input and output. And ultimately, that idea relies on the fact that ninjas and dinosaurs already exist. Whereas if you want to get really abstract and come up with something where... Oh no, like all the people are made out of like beams of light and they live on this like purple ocean. And, you know, like the further you take it and the more off the wall you get, and it doesn't have to be fantastical in that sense, but it you know, it can be like nuanced and interesting and have like deep characters and stuff. That's it becomes harder and harder for an AI to do that, is my understanding. You know, it's easier to combine some sort of like some concepts that are kind of like broad and high level, but when you get down to like, you know, the emotional moments and the conversations that people can have in video game cutscenes, and you know, some of the like real human moments and the lore, that's where things can get, I think, trickier. And you know, in a couple of years' time, maybe it'll be much better and it'll be able to do even that kind of thing.
No, but, I don't want it.
But I was going to say, but that's not necessarily a good thing.
Throw it in the bin. I don't want that. I want in a year where this year has been filled with layoffs and hardship for developers, and we've seen how people have had to crunch and how developers are treated like dirt. I think this is a real cherry on top of the year in terms of like how developers have been respected and treated. And I think if I worked for Microsoft and I was told, well, your writing's good, but we've got this thing actually that we think is going to make it better because like you take too long. So you're going to tell this what you want to do and then it's going to do it for you and you can tweak it once it's done it. Like, no, I hate that. I just feel so strongly for the developers who are going to be affected by this that I cannot even fathom being happy about it.
Yeah,
Yeah. Because there's so many people who this will affect mm-hmm. in a negative way that I can't even begin to see the upsides of AI.
Yeah. AI in...
Maybe that's on me. Maybe that's me not wanting to see the upsides. I don't think so. But I mean, the humans behind it are the things that I care about more than the AI. I don't care about this. I don't care about it. I think it's bad. Yeah. I care about the people whose jobs are going to go because of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't know whether we're in the majority or the minority. I'd be interested to see some like polls on this and how people like mm-hmm. really feel about it. Maybe it's because we're in a creative or semi-creative industry as well that like we're perhaps a bit more affected by this and kind of feeling like, you know, I don't even mean in the sense that like, oh, what if they take my job next? But I just mean I can empathize with the fact mm-hmm. that like someone who has spent their whole life or their whole working life feeling like, oh, something I think I'm actually quite good at, I might not like to blow my trumpet, but like I'm good at writing, or, you know, I'm quite good at like
character design
or making YouTube videos or something like that. And then the idea that an AI can come along and either do it as well as you and take your job, or actually not necessarily do it as well as you, or certainly not with the same creative flair as mm-hmm. you, is troubling and upsetting. And I hate this. And
I wrote on my notes, all I wrote was hate it. Capital letters.
Yeah. So thanks Xbox, thanks Game Awards for bigging this up as well. I'll be interested to see what the fallout is.
I bet Jeff will not mention a single thing about it. Mm-hmm. He won't want to talk about it. He'll say, wow, what a great year it's been for games. And we'll say, has it, Jeff? It's been a good year for games, but it's not been a good, very good year for game developers.
No, not
has
for
it?
Developers. I mean, you have to wonder as well to what extent the layoffs, at least in some cases, maybe are kind of related to AI as well.
Exactly. Like,
we've not had any specific evidence pointing towards that, but the fact that there have been so many layoffs mm-hmm. and certainly in some cases from companies who you would assume are doing well enough,
like Fortnite.
Yeah, it's like you say, they seem to know something, and you know, we don't. Not only do we not understand AI, we don't understand business,
we don't understand AI. Finance. So I when you say in the comments they don't know what they're talking about,
yeah,
guess what? We already know that. We've already talked about how we don't know what we're talking about, but we're giving our opinions because this is how we do a podcast. All right. So when you get angry, we're not even going to be affected by it.
And it's as useful to, not that Xbox are coming to our podcast for market research.
Phil Spencer loves watching our podcast.
But it's as interesting to know how people feel about AI being used in companies like this, whether or not they understand it properly, mm-hmm. Because we are consumers of the games industry. And if we feel like what you are doing is bad, whether we're right or wrong about how AI is being used and our understanding of it, that can have a knock-on effect to, you know, in terms of like the market. Mm-hmm. So it's in a way, it's irrelevant whether we're right about what we think.
Yeah.
It's, you know, our feelings and your feelings about this, which you can tell us about in the comments below, will potentially have a knock-on effect.
Yeah. I hope that Xbox make an AI game. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it's really total bad. Wank.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And then we can all laugh and we'll say, told you so. Mm-hmm. Told ya.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And I hope they don't make one and it ends up being really good, because then I would feel big worry.
Yeah.
Big worry in
that
my tummy.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Well, let us know, like I said, what you think about AI or anything we've discussed in the podcast today. We want to know, what do you think is going on at Fortnite? Who do you think is going to play Link? Who's Chris going to play? You know Chris.
Just
Chris.
Our friend Chris.
Yeah. Peter, would you want to let everyone know where they can find us on the internet?
You can find us at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All of our videos go out on YouTube. Well, a couple of them go out on Patreon, actually. Mm. And we stream on Twitch for the most part, and we streamed on Twitch for the Children in Need thing as well. And if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the bundle that you are paying for already is a Twitch sub. So you can spend that on us at no extra cost and get all the normal benefits of being a Twitch subscriber. Mm-hmm. Shall I do the next one as well?
Go for it.
Facebook and TikTok and Twitter, all .com/TeamTripleJump to find us on social media, where we chat to you and post things and have a good time.
Yes. Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump if you want to join our Patreon. We're always astounded by the support we get over there. So thank you so much for everyone who does support our Patreon. Yeah. It really helps us out. And we have a website, like we said earlier, triplejump.mup. You can go there to find all kinds of things, links to the shop, links to Cameo, links to where you can find us all over the internet. It's a one-stop shop for all things Triple Jump.
Mm.
And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? Have something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just in time for the sponsor, Peter.
Yes. Hey, do you want to look good as you walk along the sand?
Yes,
the
I do.
Wind in your hair and mm-hmm. the salt spray on your face. Well, you can do that and also do some no scopes while you're at it with your Call of Duty Modern Shore wear. Free. It's free.
Yes. Thank you so much for watching listening, everyone. We will see you next week with another podcast.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.